from the gateway to bourbon country, live from Bellarmine University. Welcome to season two of the Firkin Podcast. I'm Brian.
I'm Chris. How are you doing, Brian?
Man, I'm great. How about you?
I'm fantastic. How's everybody out here tonight?
All right,
we're on campus today for the Sip and Swish 2024. We're celebrating bourbon and basketball at this great event, which is not just for the game, but it's a fusion of sports, artistic expression, as well as community engagement. And one of my favorite things, whiskey.
Whiskey
is the key here, right?
That's right. And we're celebrating our awaited return for season two. This is season two, episode one, and I'll tell you what. We got a lot of fun set up for this season, don't we?
We do have a lot of fun set up for this season.
But take a look around, Chris. You see all these awesome distilleries in this room right here?
Yes, so we got like Hemingway
Whiskey
back here.
Let's get some shout-outs.
Nulu Whiskey back here. Castle & Key, Copper & Kings. Who else we have? Chicken Cock. We have Blueprints and Steelhouse Distillery.
There you go.
As well as I know that we have Goodwood over here as well. I saw you hiding over there. We were going to go over and taste on some of your stuff here in a second.
Got a Basil Hayden. We got some Makers over there. This is good stuff, man.
I think Makers is doing some cool some screen printing action. So please make sure you go back and stop and talk to those guys right there.
That's right. We got a great crowd. We got great pours for sure. And I'm stoked to be back at it. Tell you what, we got an awesome lineup today, including a couple of returning guests from our season one, episode six, who helped put this event together today. But Chris, tell me who we got for the show.
Representing Western Kentucky Distillery, we have Master Distiller Jacob Call.
Oh, man.
And the hype man himself from Bellarmine's basketball national champion, Forrest Smallwood. He's
hype
over there kind of hanging out over there.
All right.
We're also going to have a sensational artist out of Owensboro, Aaron Kaiser. And we have more music coming up from the amazing Scarlett Call, who we got to hear earlier. We're also going to talk to her a little bit later, about some of her music. But to lead things off, we have a really, really special guy, and I don't think this guy needs any introduction. Does he, Brian?
No, I don't think he does in this room.
We have Bellarmine head coach and national champion himself, Mr. Scotty Davenport. We're going to have
right,
you come up on stage.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, give Scotty a big hand.
Let's give Scotty a big old round of applause.
All right.
We're all here for him tonight. Come on. Scotty, how are you?
Scotty, what's happening?
I just want to be Forrest Smallwood when I grow up.
Don't we all?
That's exactly what we said on our way over here. We all want to be Forrest Smallwood.
I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and open it up by talking about the excitement around being back on campus today. We're usually at Freedom Hall. We're on campus today. How's that make you feel, Scotty?
First and foremost, the students. Secondly, the support that everybody has joined in. What Forrest has done, Norton Healthcare with the whiteout, there's a white shirt on every seat. There's a gift bag courtesy of Prime, the sport drink.
There you go.
Bellarmine grad Max Clemens. So there's a shirt and a gift pack on every seat. The students are being fed at 6:15, and it's a 7 o'clock tip. There's 50 seats in Knights Hall without a gift bag or without a shirt.
Okay.
50.
50.
Hey, only 50?
That's a good ratio.
Eastern gets 50 tickets per conference rule night.
I was wondering. I was like, was the budget
Eastern
short?
And they didn't get 51.
Yeah, we're not giving you anything today.
It's amazing because it should be about everybody. And an event like this that Forrest has worked so hard. And then these distillers, one of which is my son.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, right. Chicken Cock Bourbon, Russ.
Oh, yeah,
Bourbon.
I know Russ back there. I see
there
him.
There you go.
He's probably trying to not want to be called
but
out.
But if you think about it, it should be about people.
That's
it
right.
It should be about people.
That's right.
And what these players have persevered, they will appreciate you tonight. From a family standpoint, there's been tragedies, there's been injuries, there's been illnesses, and they're persevering. We will dress nine players tonight. Eli Roberts is down with a bad back, but we will fight 40 minutes.
Absolutely.
Wow.
I bet it's good to be home, isn't it?
Well, we won 79 straight here at one point.
That's right.
79 straight games.
Yeah, it's
games.
Good to be here.
I think that deserves a round of applause, right?
Yeah.
79 straight
that's
games.
That's a fantastic
there
number
go.
Right
that's
there.
A good, that's a good little record.
Love that.
I will share this. My message to the team tonight will be very brief. What I will tell them the rest of their life, don't ever, ever utter the words, "That's not my job."
That's right.
Don't ever say that. And tonight, go out and play like every job's your job.
I love it. I'll tell you what, Scotty. So you grew up in the south end of Louisville, man, right? You're a
Central
Louisville
Avenue.
Boy all the way.
Randy Crowdis is here. Grew up with Randy Crowdis is here. I grew up on Central Avenue. A lot of people had a swing set in their backyard. I had Churchill Downs.
There you go. Well, my family used to live out there, too. It's a bit gritty out there. How you think that's shaped your philosophy about coaching?
I would not trade the way I grew up. I lost my dad on Halloween Day when I was 9 years old at 115. My mother was a superstar, a one-room schoolhouse education in Greene County, Kentucky.
Yep.
She, with that one-room schoolhouse education, ran her own business for 43 years.
That's incredible.
The void in my life was filled by teachers, coaches, principals, assistant principals, counselors. And right before my mother passed away 15 years ago, she said, "You know, Scotty, if you really work hard, you might get a real job and make something out of yourself." But I've never had a job. And she taught me a job is a vocation.
Yes.
By definition, that's a vocation. And I had an advocation, and I was an advocate of young people because those same people were an advocate for me.
Absolutely. That's beautiful.
So let me ask you, what drew you to basketball? Was there one thing that drew you?
This has not been told. Right before my dad passed away, he built the best basketball goal in the backyard anywhere in our neighborhood, and everybody played in my backyard, and that was it.
It was just like that sense of community started. Of everybody coming back, and that's
everybody where played in my backyard. Half dirt, half concrete. It was the best goal in the neighborhood.
It was the best.
Now, why did he build a basketball goal for me right before he passed away? I don't know.
Yeah. Wow.
I don't know.
Hey, listener, so we had a bit of an equipment malfunction here, so Scotty's going to go off mic for about 3.5 minutes, and we'll be back to our normal microphone levels.
Here we go. No mic. Listen.
There you go.
So I just want to pick up on Forrest. I get a call. Think about it. He won a national championship and graduated here in 2011. Right at the time of the Berman explosion, so to speak. He immediately gets jobs, Maker's Mark. He goes on and on and on and on. Very, very incredibly industrious. I get a call. A year and a half ago, September of 22, he says, "Coach, you know, I owe you my life." I said, "Forrest, no." He goes, "Yes, Coach. Krista, my daughters, I owe you everything." I said, "Forrest, don't do that." He goes, "Coach, I'm going to pay back. I'm going to distill a barrel through Green River." Okay, Forrest. Show me. Don't tell me. I get a call this past fall. He says, "Coach, I'm making it happen." He said, "We're going to produce 180 bottles of Bellarmine basketball bourbon." He took just that simple event, that gesture, and he's turned it into this. He says, "I'll ask for a $100 donation of the 180 bottles if you'll sign them, and I'll hand you the money for the operating expenses for the players." That for Smallwood. I mean, we used to have morning madness because nobody's going to watch us at midnight. So we would do the morning news stations from 5 to 7 a.m. And we'd give each one of them a corner of the court. I walk in the locker room, 3:30 in the morning, get ready for morning madness. I turn the light on in the locker room, and right below me on a couch sleeping under towels, Forrest Smallwood. And he startles me. He goes, "Coach!" And I'm like, "What are you doing?" I was so scared I was going to be late
for the early morning practice. I slept here all night. And he was the first one there. With that effort, he won a national championship here. And to see someone come, Justin Benedetti here standing next to him. JB, what'd you text back me today? And what'd you say you would do if you could just do it one more time? The way we started practice every day. All these answers that are, all these questions that are in society, the reason we're going to be okay, it's those guys in that locker room right now getting ready to play. And it's these kind of young people. That's why we're going to be okay.
That's right.
We're going to be okay because of them. Trust them. You know, Russ's two little ones, Ren and Jake. I'm not the answer. They're getting whatever they want from me. Those players in that locker room are the answer. Just like JD and Forrest, Braden, Jeremy, Chris Dow, Keyston, go on and on and on. Luke Sprague. This is why we're here. Enjoy tonight. Enjoy tonight.
That's right.
All right. Hey, yeah, we're back good. Up and running. Look at that.
Let's give a big old round of applause for Scotty Davenport.
Look, he got it done.
Hey, he doesn't need it. If we have technical difficulties, he just is the loudest person in the room. So before
That's
we get
fantastic.
Into anything else, let's talk a little bit about what we're drinking up here tonight. So one of the couple things is we have lined up for us. We have, when we actually pulled in, we weren't sure what we were going to taste up here. But Forrest just kept bringing us bottles. So what we have up here is our first thing is we have Blueprint. Brian, why don't you grab this Blueprint bottle real fast.
Yeah, let's do that.
Where do we have Blueprint back here on our, out of our vendors? Blueprint?
Look at this one.
Blueprint right back there? There we go. Old Stillhouse Distillery right back there in the back. Brian, let's look a little bit about the label. What's our proof? What do we got on this?
This is always my favorite part, trying to find where the proof is. This is 100. All right.
It's 100 proof from Old Still Old Stillhouse Distillery. Has anybody had a chance to try this one yet? Yeah? What do you guys think? Good? I'm taking your word for it because I haven't had it yet, so we're going to have it up here tonight.
Oh, yeah. That's got flavor.
Oh, man. That's delicious.
I like that.
I don't know if that has a... So I am actually new to Blueprint, but that is really, really good, guys. That is fantastic. Now, to also actually, as we go into what we have to taste today, we have Hemingway's, and I think this is their 102 proof. Is that right? 102, 107, Brian?
102. We'll go with
102
that.
102 proof. So this is going to be a really, really beautiful bottle, Hemingway whiskey. I'll tell you,
this
like, look
right
at
here.
That. Have you guys had Hemingway whiskey before?
There you go.
Yeah, I mean,
I know,
like
I know this
thing.
Table out
You've
here.
You've had
has.
It before, right? Like once, like a couple pours?
Okay,
three times?
Yeah, there you go. There
three
you
times?
Go.
So we're going to get to talk to him, and I don't want to like spoil too much because, you know, I'll probably say everything Jacob would say. It's probably exactly what we'll do, but that's a really,
that's
really amazing pour. And we want to thank Hemingway Whiskey for helping put all this together. Then our next one that we're drinking up here today throughout the whole entire night, we have Copper and Kings. Now, Copper and Kings, this is a Kentucky bourbon. This is fantastic. Look at that. There we go. This is finished in apple brandy barrels. It has got this beautiful sweet nose to it, really well-rounded, 100 proof.
Talking about
really
Forrest,
delicious.
He put these he put these fancy little things
up
here that are falling over
Forrest's
the place
idea,
on us.
So
come on,
we
Forrest.
We talked these over. It's all Forrest's fault.
The hype man.
Just remember that, the hype man. Then next we have Green River. Now, we are not drinking the single barrel pick, but I assume if Forrest over there is listening, maybe Forrest can get us a Forrest?
For us.
Maybe you can get us a bottle of what we're showing off tonight.
You are the man of the hour, Forrest. Come on.
So we're going to come up and show off that bottle. If you didn't get to pick one of those up, now that you're in here, you can actually step over to that table and you can purchase one for $75. Beautiful bottle with this great logo on the back here. And then we also have my friends over here at Pursuit Spirits. This is actually going to be their 108 proof. So really excited to try that throughout the day, too.
Yeah, I'm excited to check that one out for sure. Oh, here he is.
Forrest, we're going to bring you on a little bit later, so I don't want you to say too much, but can you tell me a little bit about this bottle at all, just real quick?
Come on over here and sit down in the chair over here by Chris.
We got a couple minutes. Tell us about this bottle, man.
Yeah, so...
First off... This is Forrest. Like, we've been talking about him, and we're going to pick fun of him
this
all night long.
This is who Scotty was yelling about.
This is who Scotty was yelling about when he had technical difficulties. So, Forrest, tell us a little bit about this special Green River bottle.
Yeah, so we launched Green River about a year ago, 2 years ago. Eighth-generation master distiller Jacob Call. When we revived that brand, the 10th oldest distillery in the state, we were able to purchase a bottle that went back to the Western Kentucky Tornado Relief Fund. And so the proceeds of that barrel went back to Western Kentucky for the tornado relief. And this is a hand-picked bottle by me and Scott Davenport. On the side, a good friend of mine, world-renowned artist Aaron Kaiser, has painted a mural of Coach.
That is a beautiful mural. And we're going to talk to Aaron in just a few minutes. And I'll tell you, if you guys haven't had a chance to look at some of his artwork, this is a perfect place to view it right here on this bottle.
Oh, yeah.
As well as on the back. Maybe, Forrest, can you stand up? Maybe we'll turn around a little bit. It's a bigger
picture.
Look
at this.
Take a look at that beautiful mural on the back of Forrest's sweatshirt right here. That is what you get when you get to purchase one of these amazing bottles as well. They are signed by Scotty Davenport, too, right?
Every signed by Coach there. Davenport and Aaron Kaiser. Aaron Kaiser, again, in the Bellagio, world-renowned artist. Again, the bottles are $100 for the day, and supplies while last. We had 180 bottles.
So, Forrest, the biggest question is, you didn't pull one of these up here for me to try. Are you going to get angry if I open this one?
This one's yours.
Oh, look at this. There we go.
Well, I think we need two bottles up here then, Forrest. Come on.
No, because we'll drink all of this.
I think you'll like this one. It's a little more honey.
Brian, why don't you grab us two glasses back there?
Out of the four barrels that they gave us, this was one that really stuck out between me and Coach.
Yeah?
This one might be a honey barrel, man. It's pretty close.
Now, Byron, my man Byron back there with Green River. It's my man back there. Byron,
oh,
have you had this one yet? Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
Right. Byron, a veteran in the now, whiskey industry.
Are you
from Four Roses?
Are you pouring any of this out there at all?
No.
Oh, so
you
no
have to
one.
Buy it.
So the only way you get to try this is to buy it yourself.
So it's a mash bill of 70-21-9, 70% corn, 21% rye, 9% malted barley.
All right.
So let's cheers to everybody out there on this great whiteout game tonight.
Thank you for coming out.
So big cheers,
here.
Everybody.
Cheers. Cheers, Nation.
Cheers. There we go.
Cheers, friend. Cheers.
It's a heavy pour.
Up here, well, it's not a Forrest pour. A Forrest pour, you just stick your like pinky into it and like wet your gums or something.
It's a quarter ounce.
Oh, that's good. Oh, yeah. There you go.
Wow.
I've,
guys, go buy one of those bottles. This is a one time. If you haven't picked one up, $75 right over at that table, right?
Absolutely.
So please make sure that you get that. Now, Forrest, we're going to say bye to you for a couple minutes.
Thank you.
Because we want to
Forrest
bring up.
Forrest is so used to us saying bye to him for a little
while. Yeah, we actually
while.
Like to say bye to Forrest a lot.
I'm glad there's not a couch today.
We really try to kick Forrest off as much as possible.
That's right.
But we are going to bring up next, if he is ready to go over here. So, the guy who actually painted this beautiful mural on top and put this sticker on this bottle, let's give a big round of applause to Owensboro native Aaron Kaiser. Please,
right.
Big round of applause.
Welcome to the show, Aaron. Come on up, take a seat.
Aaron, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Yeah, so you're so we didn't actually have this actually scripted, but you're injured.
I am.
Were
I am.
You injured yesterday?
Last night.
Last night?
Yeah.
What did you do?
So, painting a mural on a wall about 20 foot tall. Needed to get an extra foot or two. Stood on a 5 gallon bucket and came off the 5 gallon
That'll
bucket.
Happen, yeah.
Oh.
I stand on 5 gallon buckets a lot.
Yeah.
I injure myself quite often, too. There you go.
You know, it's funny that you said 5 gallon bucket because, you know, when Forrest called and told me that you injured yourself, he went OSHA certified and said that you fell off a ladder.
Oh, well, it sounds better.
Right.
Sounds a lot safer.
Sounds a lot better if you fall off a ladder, but I like falling off a bucket.
Yeah.
That's
been
really,
a bit
really
of a risk taker.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got started. So you're a painter, right?
Correct.
And how long have you been painting for?
I began painting about 15 years ago.
Okay.
Wow, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And from Owensboro?
Yeah.
What got you started in painting?
So, really funny, my dad was diagnosed with lung cancer. And he didn't have money for the treatment, so I Googled how to make money fast. And one of the things that came up was being a painter, and that's what got me started.
So, actually just, like, painting like pictures or did what like?
Yeah, painting portraits.
And you had no idea what you were doing?
No. I think I was 24, 25.
Really?
And you're like, wow. Oh, this will make me a quick couple bucks.
I'll paint portraits. Figured I could do it.
You know, hey, man, put it on your back and go, right?
Yeah.
Never thought that. Like, oh, I'll just go paint some portraits. If I went to go paint some portraits, it would look awful. And let me tell you, I'm getting a little feedback there. If you guys have not seen any of Aaron's works, my gosh, like some of the portraits you've done, John F. Kennedy, unbelievable. Steve Jobs, I've seen, absolutely just fantastic.
Is that me?
Maybe.
There you go.
There we go.
You just got to know where it's coming from.
Yeah, so a majority of my work is painted in between 5 and 10 minutes.
Yeah, 5 or 10 minutes. Yeah. That's like...
The Davenport painting was probably a 10-minute painting.
So to paint something like that in 10 minutes, how long does it take you to prep and practice? Like, do you just walk up and you're like, yeah, this is... Do you know what you're going to do? Or is there a lot of prep and work that goes into it?
So, not for each painting, but when I started painting, I would do somewhere between 50 and 100 paintings every day just to learn how to paint.
Did you ever have a favorite one that you liked the most?
No, not really. I like them all about the same. But I try not to get attached to any of them.
Sure, sure.
They're all for sale.
Now, you've worked for some major companies. Like, you've done some big things for some places.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I mean, there's a list of amazing things that you've done.
Yeah, I've worked with, as far as the bourbon industry, I think my first job was with Maker's Mark, creating the Margie bottles.
Yep. Yes.
And then...
So how did you get a job like that? Did you submit some stuff, like some works of art or somebody you knew?
No, I found that as long as I kept working and putting myself out there, those things came to me.
Absolutely, yeah.
But they came from the work, not just sitting back waiting for it to happen, just putting myself out in front of people. So the live painting, that was just a catalyst for the artwork, just to get myself out in the public. Yeah.
So you've done distillery-wise, you've done something at Maker's Mark.
Yes.
You did something recently at Green River, right?
Well... When Green River was coming back, I got hired. I own a construction company as well. And our construction company got hired to redo the distillery, which left me in the position to help redesign the brand.
Yeah.
Which put me in with the logo, the Whiskey Without Regrets, the bottle design, all that.
Wow.
Well, yes. I know. So I was sitting there a couple nights ago. Chris sends me a link to a KET documentary that was on you.
And
I was amazingly impressed because you start painting, you're taking this black canvas and just putting light over top of it. And it was incredible to watch those pieces come together. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so I approach that from a standpoint of like a metaphor of life is really the way that I paint. Is the darkness is always there.
Yeah,
and you got to work to bring out the light. So the negative space is what I work with.
Absolutely.
So what excites you? What gets you excited about a portrait? Like, is it just somebody comes up and says, hey, paint this for me? Is there anything that's like really getting to excite you to get working?
Yeah, when you're looking at a canvas, internally that's going around in your head there?
So for me, it's an outlet. So I just enjoy going at it.
Yeah.
And not really having a plan.
Right.
It's kind of like sculpting. Something doesn't look like anything at first, and you keep messing with it till it turns into look like something.
Right.
That's how I paint all my faces.
Okay.
So when you look at those faces, are you going through and you're, do you find a right picture that you want to use first?
Typically I use a reference photo of someone. I'm not great at sitting around just creating faces out of thin air, but.
Well, your use of like the shadows
the
and
shadows
the brushes,
are incredible.
Like looking at those like deep dark shadows like around eyes and something like it's, I don't know, you bring something out in these portraits that you do. It's beautiful.
Thank you, but I think it's really more based on the color theory of which colors I put next to which colors. Like using blues for shadows and reds for shadows versus what you typically think.
Right. And do you think of that beforehand, or is that like you kind of set out your palette and you just kind of go at it?
Yeah, just kind of go at it, because I use all latex wall paint.
Yeah.
So whatever paint I have laying around is what I use.
Right.
And I mix paint as I go for the colors I need.
And you've had no formal training?
No. Wow. Like I said, I didn't start till I was 24, 25.
That's badass,
24,
man.
25. And, like,
and look at what we get.
Look at that. Like, that's
beautiful.
Beautiful. And you said that really didn't take long for you to come up with.
No, that was probably about a 10-minute painting from concept to completion of it.
All right. Nice.
Now, some of my larger ones, they take a little longer. Murals take me longer. Things I have to be more precise on, but...
And you really you're prepping that out, like, way beforehand, like when you're doing the kind of like a, I think you did a pier not long ago, like a Kentucky Legend pier.
Yeah.
That was really beautiful.
Yes. That one took a little bit.
That looked really crazy. You've done some work for NASA in the past.
Yeah, NASA, Nike. Used to work for University of Kentucky during the championship year.
That was a good, good year. I'm a Kentucky fan. So.
Yeah. I would come do the Catsby Awards. I would paint there.
So is there one, I know you said you don't have a favorite, is there one that you did that maybe even, like, I don't know, surprised yourself? Like, maybe you got done, you're like, oh, wow, I'm really good.
Yes.
No.
I like them all equal.
Never.
I dislike a painting as soon as I'm done with it.
Do you really?
Yeah, I don't stand back and admire it or care about it too terribly much.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that makes me ask my next quick question. Do you have anything hanging in your house of yours?
Oh, no.
Really?
I don't know. I don't have artwork in my house at all.
Look at this guy.
I have it, but it's in my closets because I don't know where to hang it. I don't want to settle for a certain look.
Yeah.
Well, I assume, and then you're like, you probably are like, oh, I don't want to keep walking by that every day. It's like something different.
Yeah. Well, a big portion of my life is construction and home design.
Sure.
So that's where I run into the aesthetics part of not wanting to tie my house into something.
All right, cool.
I'll always have a crew at my house testing a new product before we use it on somebody else's house.
That's the good part, too, especially if it's cool stuff.
Yeah, usually it is. Sometimes it's not.
So if you put yourself in the shoes of your audience, like, give me some ideas behind what are you trying to evoke in your audience? Like, what are you hoping that they take from your art?
More than anything... is that if you want to do this, you can do this.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of work.
Right.
You know, I'm not the best painter in the world. I know that. But
we're not the best podcasters in the world either, but that's okay.
Came on the right show.
Yeah.
You guys ever heard of Joe Rogan? I don't know.
But the ability to keep going out there and every day doing it, even when you failed at it, is kind of what I want people to take away from my life in general, not just the artwork.
You know, I actually saw, I think it was either in that KET interview or something else that you did, that you you said that, you know, you're not overthinking anything that you're really doing. Like, you're kind of just going up and creating. Does that sound about right? The way that you do it?
Yeah, that's the way I approach almost everything. Wow. Everything's a wing.
I'll tell you, if you guys haven't seen, like, he has some, he doesn't do any videos anymore, but there are videos on the internet if you go back and look.
He doesn't do any more videos now.
No. Wow. Got in trouble for those.
Yeah, I mean, being awesome, is that why you got in trouble?
You can
find some of those amazing ones online of just showing off great stuff.
I'll tell you what happened, the why I actually quit doing videos.
Yeah, we would love to hear that.
Please do, yeah.
I painted Steve Jobs.
Yes, I've seen this.
Yeah, so that was on, and it was my first YouTube video I ever posted. Well, Steve Jobs passed away the day after.
No way.
Yeah, so it got millions of views.
Wow.
Like, my first YouTube video ever got like 5 or 6 million views in a day or two.
How crazy is that?
You're thinking like, you're this, you're incredible sensation.
Yeah.
First video up, millions.
Yeah, well, then I noticed I wasn't prepared for what came back from that.
Right.
Because I had no infrastructure to accompany a business, I hadn't done anything really at that point.
You were just painting a picture.
Yeah.
You didn't know what was going to happen after.
So then I was flooded with emails, and then I saw, you know, hate comments on there. 99% of it's great, but the 1% weighs a lot more when
you
see it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
And I wasn't prepared for that either. So I was like, I'm done with the social media.
There's some people out there.
Yeah, I just don't care much for the social media aspect of it.
I'm with you. I think the hardest part of any job today is like keeping up with that social media aspect.
Well, now it's like you almost have to do something.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Or you're irrelevant. Even if you are the best at what you do, if you're not viewed as the best by somebody on social media, then you become irrelevant.
Yeah. Right. You know? So, 100%. Right.
So I post something like once or twice a month now.
Just that, and that's it?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, when we were researching you, you did make it difficult.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. I can tell you that much.
Yeah.
So I do want to ask you, just looking ahead, just what excites you about your artistic journey coming up? Is there any big projects or anything that you're looking forward to that are on the horizon?
Yeah, I have several, actually. Most of them down in Florida right now, which is a great place to be with this weather. But can't really say my clients.
Sure,
But they're a massive project.
Awesome. Good.
Yeah, they're really cool.
And just personally, I mean, with your own journey, are you looking into any kind of new way to do your art, or are you just you like where you are and you're going to stay there?
No. I'm changing some things up right now to give it a new look and a.
You are okay. Yeah, cool.
Because I figure, the way I see it, I got 4 more years and then I'm done.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
4 more years and then what's next? Just focus on Kachuk and just see what happens.
No, I'm done.
Done.
So
that's fantastic.
So I don't know what's after that, but I'll figure it out.
That's all that's needed, right?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, all right. Well, listen, we didn't get to do this with Scotty because he had to run, and
yes.
I don't even know where he went. That guy was so quick getting out of here. But we do always like to do something a little bit fun with our guests, and we do have something today. Chris, tell us a little bit about what we got.
And now you do have a little bit of a broken wrist, so you're going to be a little bit handicapped. Because you have your left hand.
Yeah.
So we actually brought this like amazing Papa Shot.
Yeah, look at this over here.
And what we're doing is we're going to give 30 seconds on the clock to all of our guests to get as many as you can in 30 seconds.
So Forrest doing this too?
Forrest is going to do it too. So your goal is to beat Forrest. And here's the thing. If you don't beat Forrest, I'm sure that someone's going to jack Forrest up to make sure that Forrest doesn't win.
Well, no, I need to make sure that I beat Forrest.
We'll make We'll make sure that you beat Forrest.
Yeah, with a broken wrist.
So, if you want
to
step over here with Brian for just a second.
That's right. All right, let's head on over here. And Chris is going to be our timer. So what we're going to do here, we're going to put 30 seconds on the clock. We're going to have our guests compete against each other tonight, see who can score the most baskets in 30 seconds. So, Chris, you tell us when we're ready to
go. All right. Aaron, you tell me when you're ready, and I'm going to start the clock.
All right, we ready? Everybody, cheer him along here, because this is important.
Yeah, we got to cheer Aaron on right here.
He's
got to beat Forrest. That's his goal. Ready? Ready, Aaron? 1, 2, 3, go.
There's one. There's 2, 3. He's on fire. 4. Oh man.
Forrest
5.
Is
6.
Did we make this too easy?
Oh, we're bricking it now. There's 7.
We're at 20 seconds.
7, 8.
Left.
Come on, cheer him along.
Come on, 9. Cheer him on. Here we go. This is Wednesday. Whole entire
10.
Gift basket for him. Here we go. Come on.
All right. How much time we got left?
We got
There's
8 11, seconds.
8 seconds left.
5,
we got 11 points.
4,
12,
3,
13,
2, and 1.
Whoa,
that's it.
13
what do we got,
points
Brian?
For Aaron Kaiser. I'll tell you what, everybody. Give him a round of applause. That was an amazing performance right there.
You got 32,
32.
Is what he's telling
32,
you.
32. All
right. Aaron, thank you so much for coming up.
Man, that was fantastic.
We're going to bring up another Owensboro native, a student of Davis County High School. Scarlett's journey in the world of music began at a young age, guided by a profound love of singing and dedication that shows her true passion.
That's right.
So let's welcome up to the microphone now, Miss Scarlett Cole.
Just make yourself comfortable over there.
Scarlett. What a welcome to the show. Voice. Welcome to
our
show.
Thank you so much.
Like, wow. So
thank you.
You're 16 now, is that right?
I'm 16.
16,
yes.
And you started 13, 14 years old?
I think 14. 14 was when
years
I started
old.
Playing out, yeah.
Nice.
And you didn't pick up a guitar before then, right?
Mm-mm.
Wow. So
no.
In 2 years, Brian.
Yeah.
2 years.
Yeah,
right.
Years.
Like, that's unreal. incredible. So this sounds about a time during COVID.
Yeah, around COVID.
So you're probably stuck in the house and you're saying, you know what? Let's grab a guitar.
Yeah, well, I've been singing forever, but then I got bored and I kind of wanted to start playing out, but you can't really play out if you don't play an instrument. So
right.
I just kind of picked guitar, I guess.
Yeah. So has it always been kind of Americana and country folk music that you've been into? And,
I kind of grew up listening to it, so.
Absolutely.
So you have like your influence being like Noah Kahan, right?
Yes, I love Noah Kahan, Tyler Childers, Megan Maroney, Chris Stapleton.
Yeah.
All of them, yeah.
And for anybody who doesn't know, you actually have performed for somebody, you opened for somebody pretty big, right?
Yeah, I opened for Deanna Carter not too long ago, actually.
That's impressive.
Deanna Carter.
Yeah.
Brian, did you ever open for Deanna Carter?
I did not open for Deanna Carter.
Brian also plays the guitar for a lot longer, and he hasn't opened for Deanna Carter.
I've opened for some punk bands in my time, but never Deanna Carter.
So 2 years, you opened for a massive country star.
Yeah.
30 years, still hasn't
That's
done
right.
it.
That's right. So that's right.
You're getting there, Brian.
Hey, you know what
there.
Happens.
But we're opening for her. Look at it this
that's
way, right?
That's right. I mean, that's impressive on its own.
Way up, Scarlett. All because of you.
Oh my gosh.
So who would you say is your favorite person to perform? Like, what's your favorite out of everybody's music out there, the country and the folk stars, what's your favorite one to sing live?
Maybe Tyler Childers songs.
Oh yeah.
Or Noah Kahan. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's so
no.
many.
Have
there
you ever
you
seen
go.
Him live?
I have not.
No.
Oh, it's time
I
to do
to.
That, isn't no. it?
You know,
I've seen Chris Stapleton live. He's really good live.
He's incredible live.
He's
I got
really
to see him
live.
A couple years ago, and he was really, really
he
good.
He is, yes.
You know, Tyler Childers is coming to Louisville here in September.
Sure is.
So, Jacob?
Parents.
Huh?
But he immediately, he looked someplace
yeah,
else.
What's
and
that?
Like,
oh,
yeah,
come on.
Forrest. Tyler Childers. She wants to see Tyler Childers. Are you going to make sure? Okay, well.
We need
Never
to go
mind.
Together.
We'll give Forrest ticket to you. You're good.
Okay.
So you'll go see Tyler Childers this year. So definitely on me. You're going to come out with me, and we will make sure that you see Tyler Childers. Jacob, you can mark that down.
We're going to get it done. We're going to get it done.
Yeah, mark
great.
It down as long as Jacob brings whiskey.
Okay.
So tell me, Scarlett, I've got a kid about your age. So does Chris, and my kid plays guitar. So you're still in high school.
Yes, I'm a junior.
That's fantastic. How do you balance your academics with your entertainment here that you want to get out and play?
I actually take all my classes at the community college in town.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to graduate high school with my associate's degree in science.
Is that right?
So, yeah. So,
wow, that's awesome. Yeah, that's a big old part for that.
Scarlett.
I don't
that's
have
fantastic.
An associate degree in science either. So
I got
to tell my kid to do that.
So I only take a couple classes a day, though, because I already have all my high school credits done. So I get off school at 12 every day, and then I don't have any classes on Fridays. So I have a lot of spare time to do stuff. So.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You're like,
so
are you
also writing songs as well as performing them, or we're still going to get into that?
I haven't spent as much time on that as I need to, but I've been working on it.
Have you? Nice.
Yeah.
How's
so
that feel?
Intimidating, like doing it, or just like not sure if anybody will like it? Like I would assume that's probably just.
It's kind of. The things that I write about are kind of personal things, I guess.
Right.
So,
I'm not sure if you want to air that out to the
world.
Or anything,
that was definitely one of the things I had to get around when I started writing songs because it's so deeply personal. Like, you don't know if you really want people to hear that.
Yeah.
You know, especially being in high school, that would be a little bit, that'd be a little tricky.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So what are you looking forward to as you're growing through your beginning journey, like into music and things like that? Is there anything that you're looking forward to coming up? Anything like that?
I do have some gigs coming up, but I don't know if I'm allowed to like announce them yet because I have some pretty big things coming up. I don't know if I'm allowed to share them yet.
Okay, well, if you can announce them, where can everybody find you? So when we do announce where you're going to do it, people can see it. So
That's
where can
right.
we find you?
All of my social medias are at Scarlett Cole Music.
Nice.
At just Scarlet Call Music.
Yeah.
You can also make sure if you can't find that and you want to find out wherever she's going to play all of these top secret stuff she's not telling us right now, you can also follow me at Kroger Chris Picks. Also, yep, the freaking podcast, where we'll make sure that we actually put all of her social media all up there so we can make sure we follow your whole entire career as you grow up in music. And I'll tell you, Scarlett, we wish you all of the best.
That's
thank
right.
You.
Like you, again, amazing voice. Thank you
so
much for entertaining our
absolutely
crowd this whole entire time.
I do have one more question.
Okay.
So, looking ahead, dream collaborations.
Ooh.
Let's say any artist you get to collaborate with. What's going to make you the most excited?
My mom says Jelly Roll.
Well,
I love Jelly
go
Roll.
Jelly Roll.
I love him
right
so much. I saw him in concert recently. He's so good.
Yeah?
Hey, we might be able to
maybe
work
him
that out. Who
he's
knows?
So, good.
So your mom is Jelly Roll. Are you Jelly Roll also, or would you...
Maybe Noah Kahn.
Noah Kahn?
Maybe.
So Noah Kahn,
good
Jelly Roll. So it
you're
sounds
have to
like
me
the perfect trio.
I want them two to collab so bad.
Well, maybe they'll listen to this and they'll do it for you.
I hope so.
There you go.
Scarlett, thank you so much for joining us up here. And
thank you
so
for
much
having
for
me.
Yeah.
You ready
you
to show off some basketball skills now?
Yeah. So,
oh, gosh.
Oh, yeah. No, you got to
so
shoot too. But
oh,
here's
Aaron
the best
scored
thing.
13.
Yeah, and the best thing that we can promise you, no matter what, you will beat Forrest.
What did he get?
Forrest hasn't gone
yet.
That's
gone
how
yet
we know that you'll
out
beat Forrest.
Why hasn't
there's
he gone yet?
Because there's no chance that Forrest will win this. We guarantee it.
That's right.
Sorry, Forrest. It is rigged. Completely rigged against you.
All right. We're going to head over here to the court.
All right, we're going to head right over here to the court, and we're going to have Scarlett go for 30 seconds right over
can
here.
Can Forrest
right
go first?
What's that?
Can Forrest go first?
Can Forrest go? Sure, Forrest can go first. Absolutely.
Okay.
Forrest, are you ready, buddy?
All right. Look, he's ready to go. You got to wait for us over here there, Forrest. Come on now. All right, Chris is the clock, man.
Okay, Forrest, when I say go,
got 30
you're
going to
start.
Buddy.
And remember, this is rigged against you.
30
all
seconds.
Right, ready? Go.
There's one. There's two, three, four. Look at this. He's got a trick.
Seconds.
Five.
Forrest,
six,
is this how you shot when
seven
you played?
Eight.
It wasn't
Granny style. Nine.
Oh,
10,
yeah. You were on the bench.
11.
Well,
12,
on the national championship
13,
team. On the bench.
14. He's taking
well
the lead, people.
Now, has he, though? Has
15,
he?
16, has he? 17.
All right, Forrest, 5 seconds.
18.
Four. Three.
19.
Two. And one. Done.
19.
19 is what Forrest
for
has.
Mr. Forrest Smallwood.
19. Big old 19 for
give
Forrest.
Give a round of applause, ladies and gentlemen.
Big old
19
round of applause. Half round of applause
right
for Forrest.
Scarlett.
Way to go, half round. All right.
You
got to
take
Scarlett,
Forrest
you're
out.
All right. Are you ready?
All
Scarlett
right. Forrest 19 is our leader.
Scarlett, I'm pretty sure you can get 20.
Scarlett's
no
going to take him out.
He can get 20.
That's right. You
all
saw
right
you saw his technique. Let's, right, let's make him pay for
end
that
up being worth two. Who knows? All right. Are you ready?
We're
one
ready.
Two, three, go.
One, two, get it, get it.
Come on, Scarlett.
Three.
There we go. You're killing it.
Four. All right, five.
Yes, she's killing it.
So
kill Forrest.
Six.
There we go.
Come on.
Seven.
Look at this.
You got 15 seconds.
Seven. Come on, give me an eight.
There we go.
It is eight.
There we go. 10
nine
seconds.
Nine, 10,
seven,
10, 11,
six, five, four, three, two, and one.
Oh, 11.
What do we get?
All right, we got 11.
We
on
got
that
11,
one
and
all
here's
right
what
so
was cool, though. All Forrest the Scarlets, all the Scarlets were worth two.
Oh,
so
look at that,
Scarlett got 22. Way to go, Scarlett.
Wow,
you're
Scarlett
ahead of Forrest. Good
tell you
job,
what
Scarlett.
That's pretty incredible. That's pretty incredible right there. That's right. Yeah, she's our leader if they all count as two. All right. All right, let's get back situated
so
here.
So our next guest, and we're going to close out with these great guys to have them come up here and drink some whiskey with us. First off, master distiller, Mr. Jacob Call. What's going on, Jacob? How are you?
Doing good.
He is back. He is back. And another half round of applause for Forrest. Way to go, Forrest. Jacob.
Yes,
it's
sir
been a while, man. How you been?
I've been great. I've been busy.
I'll
been
tell
busy
you what, we've seen you guys before.
A lot's changed
yeah,
since last
it's
episode.
It's been a while, but hey.
Full distillery, second largest distillery in the state. Jacob's opened up. That's Kentucky owned.
That's right.
Yeah, we started distilling last July.
Yeah.
I think we've made about 30,000 barrels already.
Oh, look at you. You're busy.
Yeah, we've been busy.
Yeah, I know that we were talking, and you said, yep, it's coming up. We're going to start our first distillate here in a couple of weeks, and it looks like you did that.
We did it.
Yep. Fantastic. And the hype man's back.
The head of hype.
It's head of hype and chancellor of morale.
That's right. Now, Jacob, I did want to ask you, how's Clayton doing? Did he finish that veterinarian program?
He's probably graduated by now, maybe.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. He was really taking his time with that, I know. In episode 6, Clayton joined Jacob, and so he was telling us about checking on the cows one night, and so we were all ribbing him about taking the veterinarian program, but he's been working on it for, I don't know, how long it had been now? It's probably
it's about
20-something years.
Over 20 years, I think, to be
a veterinarian.
This guy takes his time.
We thought that we would go through a tasting with you because, why not? You know, getting ready for the game. We got about 15 minutes left. And we have so many great partners who came out here. And I'll tell you, you've worked with the hype man over here. I told Forrest, I was like, all right, just make sure that we have some whiskey laid out and poured for us. So we thought we would just kind of taste through and just see what we got, all of our great partners who came out here.
Yeah.
So our first one, which we've already kind of dived in a little bit, but you're actually going to start on this side, too. I tried to make it easy. So the first one for you is going to be the Blueprint right up there.
All
Blueprint
right.
is going to be from that Steelhouse Distillery, Steelhouse Distillery
those
right
guys.
There.
Yeah, that one. One guy from Owensboro.
So, you know, Jacob, tell us a little bit about, for anybody out there that's a whiskey taster or anything like that, what is the way that you approach tasting a whiskey for the first time?
Yeah, you know, I always like to definitely nose it first. You want to kind of open your mouth up a little bit and just kind of take it all in, you know. Mm. For this is very sweet. You know,
yes,
I get a lot of sweetness.
Very sweet.
A lot of sweetness on the nose, vanilla, a lot of vanilla.
I get
right
a little bit
front.
Of nuttiness on the nose, too.
Yeah.
No, I did kind of finish that.
Yeah, me too.
You got an empty glass. You get an empty glass.
Yeah, I have an empty glass. I smell an empty glass.
It reminds me of episode
glass.
6 already.
It's a beautiful bottle.
What do you got? What do you got, Forrest? Have you had Blueprint before?
Tell us about it there, Forrest. Head of hype.
It's good. It's
really balanced. There's a little bit of, you know, some tanginess right there on that mid palate.
Some yeah, very well
honeycomb.
Balanced, very very sweet, smooth, no burn at all.
No, nothing. And I think we said this was 100 proof over there. So
yeah, good
finish. 100 proof.
I like it.
For 100 proof.
I like it.
Now, are these forest pours that we did here? They look like
forest pours are like
a little. Forest pours.
Quarter ounce pours.
There's no doubt.
So we don't let forest pour anything anymore. We learned our lesson really, really quickly.
Your bar's a little smaller here, though, than
it's
at
a little,
your other
it's,
studio.
Yeah, I didn't have as much to pick from.
That's right. Now, I do want to just kind of get into the whole idea behind why we're here today and this barrel and what makes that so special. And can you tell us about that a little bit for us?
Yeah, so about 2 years ago, Jacob and I kind of came together. We had the pleasure of resurrecting the 10th Otis Distillery. In our launch party, we actually worked with Aaron Kaiser to give back to Western Kentucky tornado relief. As you know, a couple years ago, Western Kentucky had a tragic storms come through north, night after night. And so we raised $100,000 for that cause, and this barrel is aged, come to, and we've donated that back to the Bellarmine basketball team and thought the story was there. You know, Coach Davenport really brought this program back to life, just like Jacob kind of brought Green River back to the forefront of the whiskey industry.
Very nice.
Great story. Now, just speaking of back to Jacob real quick, that is what our second pour is, just because I want to go into it. So we actually,
there you go.
We stuck this beautiful Hemingway up here. This is the 102 proof.
I saved this one.
102 proof. This is our everyday signature edition, number one rye whiskey in the world by Whiskey Advocate.
It's good.
Yeah, yeah, you know, we're super proud of that. You know, to come out with a new product like that and get recognized by somebody like Whiskey Advocate, you know, it's all spirits. It's Scotch and Irish and Japanese and, you know, number 13 overall and number one rye in the world is, that's doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, just on the nose here, definitely a little bit deeper, like darker notes to it.
Yeah, plum
really
and
good.
Raisin and dark fruits.
You know, that the rum season, Oloroso sherry finish has been something that when, you know, we met last time, it was it was kind of our first SKU, but it's really kind of been our the callus of what we're coming out with in the future, and tells the story of his father being a seventh generation master distiller at Papa's Pilar and what he's doing down in Key West.
Absolutely.
Oh, man.
Christmas in a bottle.
Yes, like
Christmas in a bottle.
Yeah, I think if you can get sweet and spicy and smooth,
yeah, and
I think
was getting ready
to
say the word dessert whiskey, but it really doesn't, because like you do get some sweetness, but man, that like thick, dark notes of it.
Yeah.
That's always a goal for me, is balanced with sweet and spicy. I kind of, even on my bourbons, I favor the higher rye to get some spice out of it.
And we've talked before, you like the rye grains a little bit more.
I do,
more than anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't do much with wheats now, right?
No, not right now. We're making a lot of wheated bourbon at the distillery, but I don't have any brands out that are wheated.
But that's not really your grain of choice. You like the rye. I'm always more of a rye pan. I like that little bit of sweet.
Yeah, I like the sweet and the spicy combination. Wheat's it's a little light. You got to age it a long time, I think, for wheat to really come out.
Yeah.
There you go.
But that's also how you're getting that, you know, with that rye, and you're doing it in like those sherry casks and stuff like that. That's how you're adding that little bit of sweetness.
Yeah.
It's also making it very palatable, very approachable, and doesn't like, you know, get you that good old burn, that Kentucky hug, we like to say.
Yeah.
I think it's adaptable too, right? I think the rye, the spiciness, especially in 95.5, you can do some barrel finishings to it, and that really brings the complexity of that rye out. Just super excited. One thing that's super cool about the distillery is we've got 8 acres of experimental rye that we're grown, that's already harvested, or not harvested, it's already sprung. And so we'll have a really grain to glass with Hemingway at the distillery. So we're excited about that.
I know last time we talked, you were talking about probably this year you start in the tourism. How's that looking? You guys cleaned up, getting ready?
We just put a contract on some additional land right beside of us, so we're going to be looking into the visitor experience, and there'd be some pretty cool things, you know, maybe some golf holes off the back deck.
Oh, or, there you go, trying to keep everybody there, like
ATV
the Disneyland
rides or something. Yeah, you got to make it like Disney World for adults now.
Six-toe cats.
Did you say six-toe cats?
Yeah. You know, Hemingway, he was famous for having over 50 six-toe cats in his house in Key West.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
So we're going to buy Jacob a six-toe cat for the distillery.
Six-toed cats and chickens in the trees.
We will not have chickens. Yeah, no, listen, we'll
actually,
draw the
Forrest,
line at birds.
Forrest, actually, it's really important. I actually brought you a gift today.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, if anybody has not listened to one of our, if you want to go back and actually listen to our episode with Forrest, Forrest has a weird fear.
He does.
Forrest, do you want to tell us this weird fear?
It's a specific bird that is in Key West that hangs out until about 3 or 4 in the morning, and nobody knew their roosters were in trees until you're walking the streets.
I know,
can't sleep until 4 o'clock in the morning, one jumps on you.
Well, I'll tell you what, Forrest, I brought you your very own chicken that you could put in a tree. Look at that.
God. Just for you, buddy.
It's the best podcast.
Just for you.
And it doesn't stop,
I know you're
from
scared,
you.
It is really
it's
an
okay,
unreasonable
buddy.
Fear.
Even when the mics are down, you guys don't stop on me. It's ridiculous.
How scared he is of roosters. Brian's probably going to go to his house to just like pray to
him. Oh, I'm planning on it. I'm planning on
just
it.
Just the claws
you
on the
just
door.
Wait.
That's all it is.
What else we got down here, Chris?
All right. Let's go to our next pour, because I want to try to get through all of our sponsors who actually want to put a bottle up here.
I'm
so our next
this
one, this is going to be Copper and Kings. That should be that pour for you there. Ooh. Copper and Kings, it's finished in apple brandy barrels.
Okay, great.
Wow.
So
I've heard
a lot of good
apple
things
brandy
about
finish.
Copper and Kings.
Copper and
those
Kings.
Guys are doing incredible things over there. And
that's good apple right
on
the nose.
He's got a great nose to it.
Oh, my gosh. Just like sweet, fruity nose right on top. Man, if you guys haven't had a chance
to
try that over there,
I'm
telling
Copper
you that
and
Copper
Kings.
And Kings. Oh.
I love that.
Man, even the blueprint, everything on this table is phenomenal.
Like,
it's good.
That's really
very good.
Very interesting, very complex, nice, sweet.
A lot going on.
I'm a big apple brandy fan. We've got some apple brandy finishes coming down the line.
You know, we've talked to Copper and Kings many times before. This is a company you know that's been making brandy in bourbon country for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then, this is their very first bourbon
like
they ever put
almost
out.
Almost like an apple crisp or something like that.
Really,
yeah,
really
apple
crisp. Perfect.
Yeah.
What do you think of this, Forrest?
I think of Apple Jacks all day long. It's
Apple Jacks. All right.
I get that spiciness to it, but also with that apple.
Oh, it's good. It's really good. Now, because we only have about 5 minutes left,
we put this tasting right at the end, didn't we?
Boom.
Well, originally, there were two bottles, and then Forrest gave us five. So, story of our life when you work with Forrest.
This guy over here.
It does
head of hype.
That's right. Head of hype.
Best in the business.
All right. So, our next pour, what we have here, this might be something a little familiar to you. We're going to finish right here with this. Well, before this one that's off the table right here, which that'll be yours.
Okay.
This last one here is going to be the Green River. So this is going to be our everyday regular Green River. It's not our barrel slab.
Yeah, I've had a few of those.
You've had like one or two of them, right?
This
is
going to
be a 90 proof Green River.
70-21-9.
Look at that.
10th oldest distillery estate dates back to 1885.
Head of hype knows it.
Got it memorized.
That's right.
Like eighth generation master distiller Jacob Call
like
created that product.
Asked questions about it over and over
times.
And over again.
I think he's done this.
Let's have a little bit of this beautiful Green River. I mean, that's just super
solid.
Smooth.
You know, and that's really what my goal back then was, just to make a good, solid, everyday bourbon.
Yeah.
It's really, really good.
Thank you, God.
Nothing flashy, just good and solid.
I remember sitting down we had a meeting about the price point, and that was what we all said was we wanted an everyday that everybody could go and pick up. So $35 for one of the best whiskeys you can find.
That's all right. That's the way to do it.
That's a delicious pour. It's delicious pour.
I think I can still say thank you.
Yes, you can.
You still distilled what's there for the next 5 years.
All right. To finish off our whiskey pours that we have up here, our friends from Pursuit Spirits, Pursuit United, is this beautiful little bottle right here.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be 108 proof, bold flavors. If you know Kenny Coleman and Ryan Cecil,
I do.
I've been
on their show twice, I think.
Oh, they're incredible guys right there. This is going to be their blend from their series
there.
So let's cheers back over there if anybody wants to try it. Pursuit Spirits right over there in the corner.
Dude, I get Coca-Cola on the back end of that.
Wow, I'll tell you what.
Unbelievable.
It's such a different nose than everything else we've had so far.
Very different. It's a lot of caramel, very sweet smelling. But
yeah, big time.
You get that Coca-Cola?
Yeah, absolutely.
Vanilla Coke.
Vanilla Coke, that's it. Brown sugar.
Yeah, dude, that is
phenomenal.
Give it a
little burnt dark brown sugar.
Just a thank you to everybody that's came today. We've got Shaw Ross, Goodwood came, Copper and Kings, Castle and Key, Nulu, Bourbon Pursuit, Papa's Pilar, Hemingway, Chicken Cock, Green River Bargetown Bourbon Company, my man Adam at Stillhouse.
There you
Blueprint.
Go.
We've got Beam and Maker's Mark. Thank you so much for
Madison
coming.
Over there, who's
Madison,
awesome.
They're awesome. B Agency, they're great people. Everyone came out today. Thank you. It was a great cause. It was a great team. Thank you all.
Yeah, we kept asking Forrest for a full list, and you know, we just had to make it up once we got here.
Yeah, it just kept growing.
Forrest, I thought I was going to cry when the coach started crying, talking about how awesome you are.
Well, you have stories like that.
It's okay. We pinched
him.
I pinched him before he went up there to make it seem like it was much more really deep to heart.
I want to say one thing though. If you could remember me of one thing, what would it be? Is it fireworks?
Oh yeah, we had a hell of a fireworks show at the distillery. It was a little sketchy there for a little bit. Fireworks at a distillery.
It wasn't just fireworks. We had full-on
fireworks.
Yeah, we had fireballs.
It sounds sketchy. If Forrest would have said we were having fireworks here tonight, I'd be like, I'm out.
Imagine 25,000 barrels and a big fire combustion.
Yeah, that
was awesome.
This is why Forrest doesn't make decisions.
Yes. It's the Wild Wild West out there,
buddy. This is why he's got to run it through people.
Yeah, got to have an assistant, intern.
Forrest, just to end it, I want to say thank you for reaching out to us and that letting us come
out, man, and
trying to do whatever we did. Sometimes Brian and I don't even know what it is.
That's
Well, listen, I will say, you know, it's a $9 billion tax industry. You have a big say in this and a big, big character and why this is so a wonderful industry to be in, to be a part of, to be in Kentucky. So thank you for what you do and what you all do and bring everything to light. But, man, just excited for where we are and what we're going to do, Chris, in the future with whiskey.
Let's do it.
Jacob, no, I absolutely appreciate
it,
man.
Thank you so much for coming out and, again, being on our show and just kind of walking us through this awesome sample.
That's right. And
your
now
incredible
it's,
daughter.
Oh, and my now gosh. It's your time, Jacob.
Might be yeah. the real talent.
She's the real talent.
That's
now,
exactly right.
Now it's Jacob's time to see.
I think
because right
he
now,
can unseat
Scarlett. You're beating your daughter.
There you go.
What's the night? Do you know the Knight's Fight song for us? You should have that memorized.
No, I don't.
Okay.
But I will tell you.
You don't? Are you a national champion and you don't know the Knight's Fight song?
I can sing the Kentucky Fight song, though.
Well, look at you.
All right.
How about we just do Go Knights?
All right, Jacob, you're up.
All
right,
here we go.
Let's walk over and get
We're going
Jacob
over
on
the
there.
Court.
Jacob, you're up, buddy. Let's see what kind of shots you got. 1791.
All right, again, and he's been drinking a little bit, but we got 30 seconds on the clock.
That's right.
Oh, look at that.
That's fine.
It's fine. Look at it this way, Jacob. The only person that you're going to be beating is your daughter. Okay, because you beat Forrest. All right.
Are we ready?
To go?
Let's right. do it.
1, 2, 3, go.
There's 1, 2, 3, up.
Here we
Four,
go. Scarlett, are you gonna hold the title?
7.
Definitely.
Come on, you can do
Come
it.
On.
8. 9, 10. Oh,
all right,
back
we have,
to back.
We got 15 seconds. 15 11, seconds, Jacob.
12. You're on pace.
Come on.
12. 13. 14.
8, 7.
15.
5,
16,
4,
17,
3,
18,
2,
19,
1,
20, 20,
oh,
20,
didn't, 20, he didn't get it, he didn't get it, that
oh,
means
that
Scarlett
so
is
close.
Our champion, Scarlett is the champion,
Scarlett is the champion,
and you know what,
of
Scarlett,
the sip and swish.
I don't think that your dad gave it to you, I think you really beat him,
he was trying to beat
you, you really beat him. So we would like to go ahead and thank everybody for coming out to this sip and swish today.
That's right.
Thank all of our sponsors today that have came out. Thank Forrest for putting this together. Want to thank Scarlett. Thank you for the beautiful music that you gave us today.
That's
Brian,
right.
Close us out. Tell them where to go.
You got it, buddy. Thanks to everyone for coming out tonight to celebrate this event with us. A special shout out to the sponsors, Kroger, Kaiser Arts, Green River Distillery, Hatfield Media, Hemingway Whiskey Company, and special thanks to all of our guests here with us. And thanks to the listeners for tuning in. Find us on YouTube at youtube.com/@FirkinPodcast. Questions or comments can be sent to mailbag at FirkinPodcast.com. Visit Patreon to become a founding member at patreon.com/FirkinPodcast. Subscribe and rate us on your podcast platform. And make sure to share it with a friend. But until next time, Chris, let's raise a glass to the stories behind the drinks. Cheers! And go Knights!